Welcome to TSW After Dark Side. With each passing moment, you become more our listener.
That was a good one.
Cool. That listener feedback takes up a lot of...
It does.
Takes up a lot of time, doesn't it?
Perils of fame, you know?
Isn't it just?
It's a fickle mistress.
You need, the trouble is there's so much good stuff in there that you need... Because obviously most dedicated people are going to listen to a podcast that's 5 hours long about Star Wars, but we're trying to draw in the minutiae.
Well, funny enough, it's funny you say that. When I when we recorded the Emotionally 14 Force Awakens podcast, I was agonizing over cuts to make and cuts to leave and stuff to leave in, and Brad pointed out most of the podcasts he'd listened to were 2 hours plus.
Yeah.
So I really was kind of sweating it over nothing. I did cut a couple of things because... the conversations, discussions didn't really go anywhere. So I thought, well, you know, if it's a 30-second thing of, oh, well, I thought this. No. So, oh, okay, yeah. Right.
No, I think you're right. But then if you want to cater for all of them,
yes,
you've got, sometimes it's got to be short and sweet. And where do you draw that line? Where is the...
Well, that's the thing,
isn't
it?
It's nice for us to talk, you know, on, like, at length about things.
Totally.
And it's horrible to have to cut your shit, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, totally, yeah. I mean, it's agonizing when you have a really good discussion. I mean, we've had Crazy Train discussions that have been 20 minutes on really interesting discussion, but they just don't fit in the theme of the show we're in. And so they just have to go, and it's always gutting to lose stuff like that. And then on the other hand, it's always bad when you have a show that's got a bit that you don't really like, but you have to leave it in because the episode's massively short otherwise.
Yeah,
there's episodes like that where I'm just like, oh, I can't listen back to certain ones because I just, they're, for whatever reason, I'm just not quite happy with it, you know. I'm proud of them all, but I'm not necessarily happy with them all.
I like all the episodes that we do, but there are some of them, like last week's Rogue One review was just fantastic because there was so much to talk about.
Absolutely.
That was a really good one.
And we were getting so much feedback as well.
Yeah, considering it was a 2-minute trailer, that's impressive that we managed to squeeze an hour and 15 out of it, I think.
Exactly, yeah, but we were doing that with...
And there's going to be a full-length trailer at some point.
Exactly, yeah.
I think that'll be Celebration now, but there's always room potentially for that to be...
How do we get into those venues, Mark, once we're there?
Run, I think.
Yeah, I think you just walk there as faster than the other people.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're up against Star Wars fans, you might be right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't run anywhere. I'll be hobbling.
Well, I'll run, and I'll get the position in the queue.
There you go.
Yeah, I could play the... if I black my face up and have an injury and I get my willy out, I'll be like, that he's definitely disabled.
It's now too late to tell you that I've been recording for 3 minutes. We're now in the After Dark Side, and sound like a belligerent racist.
But I'm playing the race car. I haven't got a race, have I? I'm a honky tonk.
Did you, Rob? You listened to the After Dark Side that went up today?
Yeah.
I had to beep a lot of stuff out because we were censoring.
Really?
Yeah. Did you not? I hope I did. Anyway. I beeped out some stuff, not swearing. I beeped out some of the sensitive content we were discussing.
Oh, that was brilliant. I love that bit. It was three times it got mentioned. Oh my God. It was the discussion about the company, wasn't it? And you bleeped the name out.
Yeah.
And then Steve said it back, and then you made a reference to it later on. I was like, you said, oh, I'm not going to bleep that one. I was like, I think you have to.
I think
you don't have a choice.
It would have been really obvious who I was slinging off. But I downloaded the probe droid sound effect.
Yes.
From Empire.
What's a probe droid? Is that the...
I wonder if I can... Hang on, I'll see if I can find it.
Is that here that Clear the Defenders? That one?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
I wonder if he's actually saying Clear the Defenders.
I don't know. Can you hear... If I play something, I wonder if you can hear it. Talk amongst yourselves and I'll find it and I'll find a way to play it.
Oh, Rob, do you come here often?
Oh, weekly now.
Don't hit on the co-hosts. Goodness.
Now, let's not be hasty, Mark. Yes.
Is that what we are to you? Co-hosts.
Increasingly often. I'm having a lot of fun, I have to say. And it's actually kind of, I think I've said it a couple of times before, but it's kind of kept my interest in, you know, podcasting and stuff very much alive. So I found myself giving myself a kick back up the arse to kind of get the Crazy Train crew back together. And
I can't really do podcasts for my YouTube channel because you can't really talk a lot about insects without looking at them.
I'm here with a ladybird.
Yes, and
you refute the allegations,
and they knock the spots off the other ones.
Absolutely. I will say, Steve, I just had a look at one of your preview thumbnails for one of your videos, and I will have to say that I disapprove because you have saved frogs, and I can't stand them. I have a phobia, a proper fear of the bloody things. It comes from, I don't know where it comes from. Apparently, it's from when I was a kid, but can't stand. Oh,
that's very strange to be scared of frogs. Most kids love them.
Yeah, it's got a. I can't remember the name of what's the.
Comophobia.
Do you want me to bleep out the name?
He's being greenophobia. There you go.
The ideal sound effect.
Randophobia. Ranidophobia.
What is that? What the droid's saying?
Ranidophobia. It's announcing.
He's found a frog on the. Hoff.
And it's outing me as a ranidophobe.
Yeah.
Are you a belligerent ranidophobe?
Oh, like you wouldn't believe, mate, seriously. I'm on Speaker's Corner every Thursday. It's also sometimes called batrachophobia, that's the one I'm familiar with, but ranidophobia is apparently the official term for it. It's a fear of frogs. Fear of frogs and toads. I can't fucking stand them. I really can't. They're just awful. And how some people can,
Jen.
You know, like spiders.
Jen said maybe they don't like you either.
They speak very, by all accounts, Jen. They speak very highly of me. So I can't really speak to that, having never got close enough to one to ask.
What's the frog's favourite social media?
Is it Reddit? Dear.
Yeah.
To be fair, that's
I just
good.
Made that Reddit joke up.
Reddit's pretty fucking good, so I can understand it.
Steve, you didn't make that joke up.
I swear I just made it because it's an old joke based on books.
Yeah.
But I've redone it for the modern world. So
yeah,
therefore, I haven't done it. I've made it up.
It's me fine. Suits me fine.
Yeah. Reddit.
Reddit.
Nah.
Yeah. We're on Reddit.
I was hopping for a better joke, but that's all I've got.
Oh, God. Apparently it comes from, my mum told me this story, so this is where she reckons it came from, this phobia. So when I was a kid, we used to have cats a lot in my house, and we, you know, it's going to sound really horrendous to say, but I'll explain further. We went through a lot of cats, and the reason we went through a lot of cats is, I believe you might have seen, Mark, is we lived on a main road.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we didn't, you know, we weren't one of those families that believed in keeping cats indoors all day and all night. After a certain age, we let them out in the garden and stuff. For one thing, we had that garden. It was going to waste otherwise because, you know, obviously by the fact I'm a big video gamer and Star Wars fan, I don't get a lot of outside time. And long may it continue. But one of the cats, when I was a kid, brought in a frog and left it on the kitchen floor.
Oh, God.
Seemingly dead. I pick it up as a small toddler, just because when you're a toddler, you pick things up. That's what you do. And the frog jumps out of my hand and scares the shit out of me. And her theory is that from that day onwards, I am deathly afraid of the things. And actually, there's probably something to it, because the jumping is the bit that freaks me out the most, so maybe it is something like that.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can believe it.
Did you not like Chris Cross for the same reason?
Chris Cross.
He's too young for Chris Cross, Steve.
Oh, he is.
The ones that jump, right?
That's there.
Yeah, Macklemate. Yeah.
Yes.
Daddy Macklemate. Yeah.
No, that's
Steve,
not the reason.
You've got all your clothes on back to front.
That's not the reason.
That's why I keep wetting myself, Mark. I'm naked.
He does have to podcast completely nude.
I've been naked the whole podcast.
Speaking of which, right? I don't know if you saw this, Mark, but when we were recording, there was a period, the very, very brief, where Steve accidentally turned on his camera.
I did, and I was it was my chest and face.
I saw the kind of the top of your head and what looked like you were kind of laid quite sort of straight back, like kind of almost
with the camera on my chest.
So I could see sort of a bit of chest and top of his head.
You got some nipple action then, Rob. Did you take a snapshot?
Never to be deleted. Bank. Correct.
Your wank bank.
Do we need to qualify what you mean by the top of his head?
No, no. I literally mean his cranium.
We literally means my helmet.
Why do you wear that to bed? Do you toss and turn a lot in the night?
It's attached to my willy. I can't take it off.
No, I mean, never mind.
Not the foreskin. Oh, you got to talk about foreskins, because in America they'd be like, what's that? Because they all have them locked off.
Oh,
they
have
them locked off in hospital. If you don't ask, they lop it off.
Oh, brilliant. I don't know if this is true or not, but there's, you know, do you follow Glum George Lucas on Twitter?
No, Glum George Lucas.
You should. It's hilarious. It's one of those parody accounts. I think it's done by the same person who does Very Lonely Luke.
I'm looking that up immediately.
Yeah. His latest tweet says, Vader has been confirmed for Rogue One. I sent Disney some great potential dialogue for him. It's a 16-minute rant about sand.
Glum George Lucas. There it is.
Yeah. Oh, here's one. Here's a really good one. I hope Disney lets me write the love scenes for Episode 8. It'll be a classic. Boy meets girl. Boy is whiny and creepy. Girl falls in love.
I'll have to look at that website.
Alan Dean Foster Jr. is a good one as well.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm.
I know we're off the Star Wars podcast now, but I really, and I don't say this with any subversive meaning other than real truth.
Right.
I really hope Luke is gay, because that would be awesome. And I don't mean just so that you can fill in a gap and go, oh, look, we've covered all the bases now. I hate all that shit, as you know, political correctness, load of bollocks. Mm. I just always saw Luke as a bit asexual, so it would perfectly fit for me. I think it would be awesome. And why not? Mm. I don't want him to snog anyone, because obviously gay people should be shot. But no, I'm sorry.
The hell?
No, I don't. I just really think it would be
cool.
I
was actually going to say, Steve, asexual and homosexual are not the same thing.
No, no, they're not.
I couldn't sex him up easily.
To be fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, and I think it would be really cool. Why not? I mean, they're 1 in 10 people, no matter what galaxy you're in, and no matter how far away or long time ago it was, is gay.
Is it 1 in 10?
1 in 10. That means there's a 1 in 3 chance that one of us three is going to get off with the other lot.
Well, you were just making moves on Rob a little while ago.
Well, there you go. Seeing this on record now.
Maybe we're all gay. I mean, there's a, what's that? 1 in 3 times 3 times 3 is 9.
Don't
27.
Turn this into a sexual maths podcast.
What's 9 times 9?
It's a jolly good idea, though. Welcome to sexual maths.
It's 1 in 81 chance that we're all uphill gardeners.
I like the idea that
I don't think if you're going to use a term like that, I don't think you can include yourself in that group unless you're one of the provocateurs who are famous on social media.
Yeah, I'd just like to add in that I have no attraction towards Rob, other than the fact that I don't know him and I find that very sexy.
To be fair, I am a mystery wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a big gangly fuck,
covered in lube.
Yeah, like you wouldn't believe. But what we've established before, what I get up to in my own time is my own damn business. If I want to lose my own flat, then there's nothing to stop me.
I do think though it would be cool if he was gay, even if they allude to the fact they didn't say it, because I think, you know what. Don't do it for the sake of it. Do it because there's a good chance that he is. And
that
even
would be,
Mark
that
Hamill
would be,
thinks he is.
That would be what would bother me. Is that's the bit that I can't deal with. I have no problem with like gay characters in media. What I can't be dealing with is if that's their only personality trait. It's like there's a Jim Carrey sketch that's kind of bang on the money, which is just his whole thing is I'm gay. That's it. There's nothing else to him. But you know, ultimately I have gay, you know, I have gay friends, I have lesbian friends, I have trans friends, in fact, and I just kind of evaluate them on a person by person basis. And if they're, you know, if I know somebody who's gay who's a twat, it doesn't mean all gays are twats, but at the same time, it doesn't mean no gays are twats.
No, I know a lot of gay people are arseholes and a lot are really nice, and it's no different.
You go, see? Exactly. There's, you know, shades of grey and all that.
Yeah, but
not 50,
I would
but
definitely grab Luke's saber if he was. But don't read into that too much. It's totally ambiguous and could mean
anything. Fair enough.
I don't know if
saber I mean his knob.
Thanks for clarifying.
Just to clarify,
I don't know if Star Wars has ever really overtly addressed sexuality.
No, it hasn't. It's only really Leia and Han who've ever.
It's a 30s romance.
But
yeah. Luke snogged his sister. Well, he kissed her briefly. Yeah. And then he leaned back like, I'm not gay. Look, I just kissed my sister.
I mean, Anakin in episode 2 was a tad sex pesty, wasn't he? But he wasn't really... Again, it was still about romance.
I'm a tad on the tools.
It wasn't necessarily about sex.
Yeah. He wasn't even touching her. He just forced a half an apple, which was really bad CGI, by the way.
Hilarious.
Yeah, that was all horrible.
Hilarious.
That looked worse than Wolverine's claws in that Wolverine film.
Yes.
Cartoon Wolverine claws.
Yeah, it was awful.
It would worry me that there would be too much. If they were going to make Luke gay, there's too much context required for the for the target demographic.
Okay.
Just leave it ambiguous. That's all I ask.
Yeah, I think children will find a romance between two men very confusing. I think children will find that.
Oh, no, I don't want him to fist Kylo Ren or anything. I just want him to be ambiguous.
That would be incest as well.
Well, they cover all the bases then, but
you
I just want
to
be...
0 to 60 there.
Yeah, I think Luke wants it as well, not Luke, because we're talking about Luke. But I think Mark Hamill wants it as well. Just don't answer it at all. Just leave it open.
Fine.
Why bother with it?
As long as, let's be clear on this, so as long as it doesn't impact the story. So if it, like, for example, he was like...
If he starts making quiches everywhere.
No, I mean... again... I mean, if Luke is Rey's father, for example, then it has to be established that there is a mother or that she's a virgin. Depending on how the story goes, if him having engaged in heterosexual intercourse with a woman is not relevant to the story, I don't have a problem with them not talking about it at all. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So like
They're fine to gloss over it as long as they don't gloss over it at the expense of telling stories.
I've spoken more about Star Wars in the After Dark than I have in the main podcast.
That's fine. To be honest, I might rewrite this, actually, because I did start writing it up as a kind of... You know, they did the comics, the Infinities, like the what-ifs in the Legends canon. I started writing one, which was, what if Qui-Gon had fudged the chance cube to show Shmi instead of Anakin? How would it have changed the saga? And actually, it was a massive amount of conjecture and speculation and a very big leap of logic. But I made the theory, assumption that it was possible to avert the events of the entire saga by just going for Shmi first.
Yeah.
Because the way I figured it was.
Anakin would have killed himself at home in a horrible kitchen disaster.
That was not. I wanted to pad the article out, so I didn't go down that route.
But
I went down the route of take her away first, come back for Anakin with a proper Republic fleet, because he knew that he was the chosen one and he was sensing the power of the Force and all that shit. Plus, he could afford him if he brought back the proper Republic currency and all that. Shmi would have been about. Anakin would have not been driven to anger by her death because she would have been about. Padme would have had a girlfriend to gossip with. And basically the events of sort of 2 and 3 would be kind of reduced in... Palpatine would have had to work a lot harder to get Anakin Skywalker to turn, because he'd have been like, well, what about my mum? He's like, fuck your mum.
Yeah. Jeez,
I wouldn't be the first. Titty sprinkles.
Why did they call it a chance cube? And then they use loads of reference to Earth in all the rest of it. And then change the word dice.
Yep, that's true. I know, right?
Sorry.
Well, it's a 50-50 chance. They could have literally just gone, why not flip a space coin?
It's like it's the worst thing ever, because Qui-Gon moves his hand so obviously over it as he does it, that he's obviously influencing the decision at the end.
Yeah.
So fuck him.
And Watto could just go, he's cheated.
So basically what we're saying is that episode 1 is just a 2-hour version of the old adage, cheaters never prosper.
Mm.
Because you saw what happened to Qui-Gon when he cheated.
That's it.
You've got there a Darth Maul in the chest.
Exactly. Ray Park kicked the shit out of him.
He got in the same place that Han got it as well.
Yeah, it's true.
Through the spleen and spine.
Except Maul was a much better shot, because he managed to do it spinning backwards. which is quite impressive, really.
Yeah, but
yeah,
what Kylo does is so much worse. It's so much more personal.
Of course, yeah. Of course.
Oh God, it's in a different realm. I was walking out of the cinema at that point in episode one. So, yeah. Yes. As annoyed as I was in episode seven when Han died, I still wanted to watch the end.
Yeah.
In case he survived and he actually climbed out.
Oh, cool.
It's all right. Tis but a flesh wound.
Yeah. So I've just spotted something on Facebook, which is quite cool. It's a picture of The Rock with Charlize Theron. She's been confirmed for Fast and Furious 8.
Oh, brilliant.
Interesting choice. Yeah.
Big M-E-H.
I'm not a big fan of the films. I love Charlize Theron.
Has she got her arm back?
Wonderful. What?
No, she's
she had to have her arm chopped off for Mad Max.
Oh, okay.
That's
yeah,
she's got
it back. I think it must be a prosthesis, though. Can't really tell. She's at a funny angle.
Yeah.
and it's extending the middle finger at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. In the picture of The Rock, for some reason.
What do you think about The Rock doing Baywatch?
It's interesting, isn't it?
Really? Are you pissing me out?
No, it is, yeah.
What? I think it's weird, but it's interesting.
It's a real thing, Steve.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Oh, speaking
David
of
David Duchovny, he'll turn in his grave.
He never used to watch it, and he's not dead.
Yeah. Well, he should be.
Are you thinking of Hasselhoff?
No, yes, I am.
Oh, David Rob, Duchovny doing Baywatch would have been
so much funnier when you don't correct Steve.
I'm so tired. I'm just thinking up names now.
But I like pointing out these things to Steve because then we could think about what a different TV series that would have been.
Which is exactly what I'm thinking of now, is how wonderful that would have been if Mulder was running along the beach. Because then maybe we'd have got Scully in a bikini.
Ah, well, you know.
Oh, no. To be fair, she's too short to be a stormtrooper.
Ah, well. Speaking of movies, did you guys see the trailers for the comic book movies, the trailers that did the rounds this week?
What, you mean the Titans?
No, there's the Doc Strange one.
Yep.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Very Inception-esque.
Very Inception-esque, incredibly so.
Yeah, I like the look of it.
Yeah, I think it looks pretty cool. I mean, Benedict is a safe pair of hands, isn't he? He's not gonna.
We don't know, Rob. You know him better than we do, obviously.
The whole story might be placed on the safety of Doctor Strange's hands. So.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'm a little bit wary of is I was sort of hoping it wasn't going to be an origin story because
they're slow. They never get anywhere.
Exactly. Like this is the thing. I've got the. Have you seen the Thomas Jane Punisher movie?
Tom Jane.
What, the Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah. Yes.
No, the one with the Thomas Jane and as the Punisher and John Travolta as the main bad guy, yeah. Howard Saint.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
that's what I'm thinking of, actually.
See, to me, that is a perfect example of how an origin story is too slow, because the Punisher needs to be firing off far more guns than he does in that film. I like the movie, but it's very slow.
Well, half an origin story is always before, there's transition, and then there's the start of after.
20 minutes of after, yeah.
Yeah, you never get the whole sort of shebang.
Yeah. Did you see the Suicide Squad trailer?
Yes.
Looks cool, right?
Yeah.
It's got Margot Robbie in it. It's going to be cool.
Yes, it does. Yeah. She looks amazing. And she's got the Harley Quinn voice. Mallet sounds fantastic.
I think she's ugly. I think she's very ugly.
Steven, okay. Mental. And your wife's clear.
Ow! I still got stabbed in the back. I just think she's ugly. She's incredibly hot, and I'd boycott her. She is
gorgeous. She's got the voice.
Stop hinting me. I still think she's gorgeous.
She's got the Harley voice down fantastically.
It's perfect, isn't it?
Damn, I wish I'd wore clothes.
It just sounds brilliant. I think Steve's being pinched to death. One thing I did notice about that was there's a lot of Batman in it.
Yeah, but I suspect that might be all of Batman that's in it.
They teased the fact that he would be in it, but I didn't realise they were going to put him in so many scenes. Even if he's only in it for bits and bobs, he's in a lot of scenes.
Yeah, it's probably part of that is probably because he was the only thing out of Batman versus Superman that people seem to enjoy.
Yes.
So they're going to lean into that now, aren't they?
But he has been, even before that, because I know they did reshoots to kind of add some bits and bobs to sort of flesh out some of the comedic stuff.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's right. I think David Ayer's come out this week and said that rumour that they were going to try and add a little more humour, he said, is nonsense.
Wasn't true.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fair.
He said he went to Warner Brothers with his cut, and they said, this is fantastic, we love it. And he said, well, I'd like to do a bit more. And they said, do what you need, and gave him the, I think it was, I'd heard the figure, another 10 million for pickups.
I've heard it's a lot of money involved, I've heard it's a lot.
Which is probably not just inserts, which you would expect from pickups, you know, cutaways and
reshoots as well, could be just as easily redoing a scene from a different angle or something.
Yeah, but it might be like Spielberg when he was, when they were doing Jaws, he watched a print through, he watched a cut through with an audience and said, I think there's one more, I think I can get one more jump out of them.
Yeah.
And they did the, I think that was the Ben Gardner's head coming out of the bottom of the boat shot, which they did in the Verna Field swimming pool.
Right.
There's all those sorts of things, you know. So they go back into the film, they see what works, they see what don't work, they see the potential to do something else. So it might be, you know, 10 million's a lot of money to just do a head popping out of the bottom of a boat. I'm sure that there's more to it, but I think it's going to be, I don't think it's just humour, and I don't think it's more Ben Affleck. I think you're probably looking at aerial shots, you know. If you're watching a cut of a film and the action moves to another location, then you might want a nice big fat glorious IMAX establishing shot of the city that you're in.
Yes. I think a lot of the Ben Affleck stuff was already in there, because I remember seeing the Batmobile in an older trailer, in an older teaser.
I have to go in a minute because I've got to get up really super early tomorrow, but
fair enough.
I'm sorry to interrupt you halfway through your very serious chat in After Dark, which isn't allowed, by the way.
True.
But you started talking professionally again. I'm not having it. That link, my nephew Max filmed that. He's Batman. He filmed that video that has over 2.5 million views that I've just embedded in of Leah Guest, who is at the a church that my nephew lives and works at in Rochester or in Chatham, Rochester, and that is the I won't say vicar because he's not a vicar, but it's his daughter, and she's done a cover of 7 years.
He's
and
a pastor.
A pastor, thank you. Not pasta, as in linguine. Oh no, I'm maybe hungry now. He might be penne, he could be linguine, but I'm not sure. But anyway, she is amazeballs, and it's for charity as well. Oh my god, it is, she's awesome. And Max did the video and all the editing, so I thought you'd find it quite interesting, Mark.
Oh, well, what I'll do then is I'm going to watch this, obviously, and then I'm going to stick the link into the show notes for this episode. So when people hear us talk about it, they can go and have a look. Even though we don't pretend not to talk to the people that listen when we do this show, do we?
Yeah, you'd think she would. This was like a professionally done song, and it's all done in her bedroom. My nephew filmed it. And it's just amazing. And her voice is like stunning. It's very unique, a bit of a mix of a few different voices. Right. But it's fantastic.
All right, nice one. Oh, well, if you're shooting off, let's just stick a pin in this thing because it works better. Sounds with three. All right,
nice
one.
It's a wrap! It's a wrap!